Braves, Phillies start a three-game set tonight down at Truist. And Braves, it'd be nice if we could win a series, not win it just a game or so. But the big thing is consistent hitting. And if they're able to do that, maybe they'll be able to pull that off. If they are, maybe we cut this lead from 10 to 7 if it's a sweep, Mike. But we got to start winning series, guys, and that's what this comes down to. We did not win last night, and it was frustrating. The Mets bullpen really stepped up. You got to give them a lot of credit, especially after Griffin Canning went down with an Achilles injury, which was weird because he steps off the mound, and you're just like, whoa, what happened? And you see him holding his leg up. He's like, oh, he can't even put pressure on it. And then the bullpen comes in and says, we got you. And literally, we don't get anything, Mike. Nothing.
No, three hits. You got three hits by three pitchers with the Mets last night. It's embarrassing. I mean, it's just actually more than that. It's five altogether. It's just, this is why it's the great debate. And I do think that Braves fans who feel we're being too negative or just are holding out hope, I think that you just got, I said it to Carl earlier. If you go back and look at that 2021 team, there was nobody misfiring at the plate like anybody on this team is right now.
No.
Half your lineup can't hit right now. I mean, them's the facts. That's not hating. That's facting. So, you know, Freddie Freeman never goes to a – that's why, you know, my beef with Olsen is he does go to some cold patches. He's been pretty steady Eddie this year.
I agree.
You know, just we can argue about, you know, some of the clutch hitting we needed a little bit earlier in the year. But he's been rock solid. But you look at Austin Riley. He's disappointed. You know, the shortstop position has been, you know, inconsistent. Yes, Nick Allen had a good night the other night. But we got guys that just don't hit. You know, we talked about the left field's a black hole. Center field is a disaster with Michael. Not the fielding, but Money Harris's approach is something we're actually questioning. And the only guy that's keeping it together other than Olsen is Ronald Acuna. You know, and the catching, too. Sorry to cut you off. Drake Baldwin, too.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
He's cooled off.
No, man, look, and I don't know what your level of frustration is or if you're not. Somebody said to me today, because I was going off on the Braves earlier this morning, and they said, look, I'm not mad anymore. Like, early in the season, I was mad because my expectations were higher. Dukes, it's mid-June. Like, we're about to be July 4th, right? I mean, I know what my team is. Do you? What is our team? If you feel that way, then you go, okay, well, this is what my team is. And if they do something special, great. I'm on board. But I don't expect that to happen with the way things have gone.
Guys, look at, since we can't use, don't use average, Mike. It's not a true metric. Use OPS. I'm not using war. Okay, because we're not even wins above replacement. Well, we're not winning anything. So who's the replacement of the others? I mean, I understand the concept. But real quick, the 21 team that everybody goes back to, Darnell, 671 OPS. Okay, that's one of the lower ones. 645 for Ozuna. He only, remember, this year he got suspended with the situation with the wife. Heredia. Remember him?
Yes.
Guillermo Heredia?
Yes.
His OPS was 665. That would be one of the better ones on this team right now. Okay, Acuna, before he got hurt again, was crushing it. Soler's OPS was 882. Duvall had an 800. Jock Peterson was 752. Rosario was 903. Okay, we got guys right now for the month that are barely getting 500. So, I mean, if you want to go back to 21, that team was like, and that team only won 88 games. That's the 27 freaking Yankees, Carl, compared to this year's Braves.
Yeah, more productive guys up and down the lineup, specifically 7, 8, 9. That's what we're talking about. There was no fall off. You had guys producing in 7, 8, 9. Right now, it's a black hole.
And you had Dansby and Freddie.
Yes, absolutely. 404-726-0929. You guys can chime in on this Friday. Real quick before we talk about the Dogs' commitments, because they are continuing to kill it. Dede, you talked about your bank calling you. So
what happened?
Well, I called my bank because I kept seeing this charge that kept showing up. And it would show up like, you know, sometimes they say, like, people will, like, you know, they get into your account and they're, like, charging small amounts to basically see if they can get away with
try
it.
You.
Right? And I think this may have happened to you a couple of years ago.
Yes, it did.
Where it was small amounts, small amounts, small amounts, and then all of a sudden, poof, right?
Right.
So I keep seeing this small amount, and I'm like, $2, $1.50, $3.50. I'm like, did this happen last month? So I go back, I'm looking at the last month, same thing, $1.50. $2, $3.50. I'm like, okay, total charges every month is about, I don't know, $7-$8, but I'm not been hit by anything. I'm like, well, so I call the bank.
It wasn't a credit card charge or like, you know.
No, it was just showing up as a charge that was coming out of the account.
Because, you know, like sometimes you get banged on an ATM.
Yeah.
You know, that stuff, but still.
The charges. Okay. But so I call the bank and I'm like, hey, I don't know what this is. And they're like, okay, Mr. Dukes, what is the? So I give them the name that shows up on the statement, right? And I'm like, I am like, livid. I don't. They're taking $10 at least a month out of this account, and I don't know what it is, and I feel like this is fraud. Blah, 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 I'm going off, right? And the lady's like, sir, we get it. We're going to do an investigation. So she starts asking me all these questions, and one of the questions she asked me is, do you own a vending machine? I said, no, I don't own a vending machine. Why would I own a vending machine? There's nothing about me owning a vending machine. That's out of the... So I'm literally fussing at this lady. She goes, okay, sir, no problem. We're going to send you a new card. We'll shut this one down. Day-Day, Mike, Dominator, it's the vending machine downstairs. I've been getting drinks and food out of the vending machine for 3 or 4 months, not knowing what the charges were, thinking somebody was in my account the entire time. I'm literally like, oh, that's not me. $2 for what? And then I realized downstairs, like, a soda costs you $1.50, right?
Man, and you're drinking those jumbo-sized beverages, too.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is from where? Oh, in the building? Mike, I never felt more embarrassed. I was like, okay, thank you. I'll send the new card.
That is the worst feeling, though, because when you don't know, and then you're, oh yeah. But Carl and I, the year we drove down to New Orleans... And there's nothing worse than having to deal with the bank when you're on the move, right?
That's right.
And it always seems to happen on vacation around holidays. That's why I always check your stuff.
Me and Carl put on hold.
So we stopped to get gas in Montgomery, Alabama, on the way to New Orleans. And the next thing you know, I'm getting a call from Capital One. Did you just buy $600 worth of lumber in Augusta, Georgia? No,
I'm on a trip.
I'm hurtling down through Mobile. I'm not in Augusta, Georgia. But that's the worst feeling. And then I just hold the card, freeze the card. Usually the banks, I know, you know, whoever your bank is, pretty good about that. But it's just you feel violated. It's a terrible feeling. And then like you. I will literally go back and I'm like, what the hell is that? And I go, oh, yeah, I ordered another stupid T-shirt from one of those impulse buys you get on, like, Facebook. You know, like, $19.95 to PayPal. Yeah, because, like, you know, yes, I do the same stuff, man.
Now so, Carl's going to get called into Rick's office because the vending machine guy is going to be like, dude, I had to give this money back.
It was so funny. Mr. Caffey, we have alleged fraud on the 8th floor.
So here's what's funny. She's like, we're going to contact Visa and let them know that you will dispute these charges. You mean for the last 3 months?
So like $12 worth of energy drinks and Snickers.
Exactly. I'm like, really? Oh, my God. So, hey, keep up with your stuff, man. But you got to know where it's coming from. I know you guys are going to kick out of that. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs. 4 dogs, 2026 commits, considered needle movers. Is that the phrase? Guys, according to College Football Insiders, Mike, the dogs commits are guys that can change programs, needle movers.
Right.
We've talked about this over the last week with Kirby and the commitments that they've gotten. You can go back and check them all out, guys. We've been discussing them all week, from offensive line, a linebacker out of Oconee. They're stacking. And the fact that all of this, most of it, not all, but most of it is in state. And our buddy Connor Riley put out an article in Dog Nation talking about this, is another testament, Mike, to Kirby and that commitment. This is something Brent Key has talked to us about, right. Mike, the head coach at Georgia Tech, saying, hey, yeah, look, we'll recruit all over, but I also want the best kids in the state of Georgia to stay in the state and be a part of what's going on here. So top 25 players in the SEC, the Dogs have 2. And then you start talking about, like, Auburn. Guys, Auburn right now is struggling.
Yeah, Hugh Freeze. And I said to Carl, we got a lot of Auburn buddies. You know, we're friends with the Lutzen Kirkens, you especially. And you know, a lot of my Auburn buddies, were my neighborhood, every other flag on the front, if it's not Georgia, it's Auburn. And everybody's like, where's the beef? This has got to be a year that they figure out the quarterback. And is Hugh Freeze, I mean, going to compete and go to a bowl game that, you know, you're not stepping out of a dugout. You know what I mean? Go to a real game, you know? You know, it's just, to me, this is where, I mean, you wanted that branding. He knows the SEC, offensive mind. He's got it. The rubber's got to hit the road in Auburn.
Yeah, the recruiting, at least according to reports, is lacking. And a lot of people are looking at it and saying, how is Auburn last? When you talk about this 2026 class, guys, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
How are they last in the SEC right now? What is happening? So, I don't know what that's going to look like. What I will tell you is Georgia's ahead of the curve again. And when you talk about players, it's not just getting guys, it's getting difference makers, Mike. It's the Jordan Davises of the world. When you start bringing those kind of kids back into the program, You're going to be in the driver's seat.
Right. We talked about, you know, a 6'5", 265 edge rusher. Only a three-star from down there in Colquitt County. They got dudes, man. We talked about it. There's a really cool article in Dog Nation of your Alpharetta, you know, Cambridge High School. Craig Dandridge is the young wide receiver. Mm. And it's kind of like, if you read the article in Dog Nation, you hear the soundbite, it's basically like everything which Kirby's coaching staff and Georgia alum would be like, perfect, because he's talking about the attitude. He's talking about what the program's all about. Just basically checking all the boxes. It's almost like, you know, when you talk about, you know, players buying in.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's reciting something that would be on the wall in Kirby's office.
Yeah. Look, and Auburn fans, I'm staying on Auburn because the numbers were mind-boggling to me. 83rd nationally.
Oof.
When you talk about the 2026 recruiting class, 6 verbal commits, Mike. And some people are saying, and this may be unfair, I can't speak to it, that apparently Hugh Freeze's golf game is getting in the way.
Oh, snap.
I don't know if that's true, but either way, those are the reports that are out there.
See, that's the thing. And you know, you and I were just talking about this yesterday. Auburn, man, there's always somebody, you know, there's somebody who signed some checks and cut some checks. I was never on board with the Freeze hire. Like, we brought that guy in from Boys, and I wasn't on that Hawson hire neither.
Yeah.
You know, so it always feels like it's about this close from it falling apart at Auburn because, you know, we call it the circular firing squad. The recruiting class rankings, USC's getting some love right now from rivals. So, again, it varies. Georgia's top three, just basically behind Texas A&M apparently having it. Elko's doing a good job with A&M for 2026. Notre Dame, Buckeyes, the Canes. Tigers at Clemson, Florida State, and Penn State, Illinois. Brett Bielema. Again, this is rivals, so it all varies from program to program.
But that's why Bielema was complaining, allegedly, that the Dogs had taken one of those receivers from
somebody
him.
Got in the portal, and like within hours, he was, well, isn't that the way it works? You're in the portal, yeah. You're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, the kid gets in the portal because he's probably predetermined his destination in some cases. So I thought it was Bielema covering his butt to tell his, like, those rascals in Georgia stole a player off our team. But we'll see. FSU, big article. Carl was joking around about it yesterday, but just trying to get a reaction out of me, that the way that they're doing their NIL deals, it's kind of raising some eyebrows in their collective. Some FSU buddies hit me up on the text line to say it's overblown. It's a writer with an agenda. All right. I just don't trust Norville as far as I can throw him. Nothing seems to be going like it should in Tallahassee. But they are in a top 10 position supposedly for 2026.
If everybody is paid.
Yeah. If the check's all clear.
The check's clear. I don't know if they're actually going to. Hey, man, we're moving Guy Talk up because Coonan's going to join us. Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO at 440. So stay right there. Mike, what do we have coming up?
Hey, man, it is race weekend. Just when should you take your shirt off for a night race? We'll discuss.
Okay.
And there's a real problem in this building, and it crops up and it raised its ugly head earlier today. People using the night floor bathroom to defile it. Have you been in there today?
Do I want to go in there?
You got to call the EPA. I'll explain next. Oh, light a match.
Oh.
Hey, you can't hear what Carl and I were just talking about. Take it behind the curtain. Hey, man, it is Duke Zabel with some into some guy talk.
Day, by the way.
We were just talking about Jeff Bezos getting married in Venice. And, we're just saying, look, why would Bezos, he's one of the richest guys on the planet, why would you, you know, jump back into that arena? You know, frying pan to frying pan. You play the field. You know, be like Jeter, have your non-disclosure agreements drawn up, and a trip to Light Fantastic and enjoy yourself. Now, if it's true love, well, good for Jeff. Carl's good, close personal friends with Jeff. Hung out with him in Vegas.
I did. He was going through his divorce at that time. This is 2018, 19s-ish, somewhere right around there.
We were out there was it a Canelo fight? We were out there? No, it was the heavyweight fight.
No, I wasn't. You weren't with me.
You were out there the one time because you were staying in the Villas at MGM.
Correct. No. I met him at the mansion inside of the MGM.
Right.
But no, we were not together at that particular point. I was out there for March Madness is when it happened. But long story short, super nice guy. I mean, he put money in my Prime account. I can't ever complain about Jeff Bezos. But I am just perplexed at why you want to do this again?
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. Like, it's hard for me to believe, Mike, that the money doesn't get involved in some way, shape, or form. Look, somebody's going to say, she really loves him. Well, I'd love whatever $100 billion, too. I mean, like, it's so easy to say that the money won't ever play a part. His ex-wife, by the way, I think She's one of the highest or one of the billionaires in our country now, right, based on the divorce. Yeah. I think she got $40 or $50 billion in the divorce. Not saying she's not deserving because they've been together a long time. But the point is, yeah, I saw this story about Bezos' secret wedding. There's another ceremony on Saturday. Some of the stars, and, you know, it's been really secretive. And I just said to Mike, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, and Day-Day, have you seen her? Yeah, I've seen her. But, I mean, Day-Day, they get to a point where if more than half of your body isn't real, I mean, to me, it's almost like you're making love with a mannequin. You know what I mean? There's too many body parts there that are just they didn't come out of the factory, you know. And like I'm into natural beauty. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Thank you very much, the ladies out there. It's what's on the inside that matters most. Okay. But no, I'm just saying. I mean, to me, she's interchangeable. Any of like the Kardashians and any other, you know, social, you know, what do you say now? Those influencers with that stupid vacuous look. I just don't vibe it. I don't get. God bless. And we say to them, Mazel Tov, as they tie the knot, brings his big yacht into Venice. Reason we got on the subject is Tom Brady seen apparently chatting up one Miss Sydney Sweeney at the wedding in Venice.
Very nice.
Shoot your shot there, Tom Brady.
Very nice.
He's got more juice than Mother Goose. We're all fans of Sydney Sweeney, and it's funny because, ironically, Sydney Sweeney, she's back in our lives again. It started with the program because Carl and I were discussing how bad the Mets game was. That for guys who missed it earlier, I want to mention this real quick as a public service. Do not, I repeat, do not watch the movie Echo Valley if your wife says you want to watch it or your girlfriend. Carl was sucked into it. It was so bad, he didn't even bring it up on the radio. He was so embarrassed.
I didn't talk about it. I was more disappointed in the ending, but Mike's right about her character in this movie. Sweeney is, she's a terrible person. Let me just say that.
And that is a testament to Sydney Sweeney's acting chops because she is so lovable and everybody just wants to make out with her. Enough about me. But it's just that in this movie, she plays such a horrible character, reprehensible character, that it's like, wow, that is acting. But yeah, last night, the Braves and Mets game was so bad. My wife's like, hey, you know, do you want to watch that movie I was talking about? Like, what movie? She goes, oh, it's Echo Valley. I'm like, who's in it? Like, Julianne Moore. I go, okay, I like
she's
Julianne
solid.
Moore. I like Julianne Moore. I go, she's like, well, Sydney Sweeney's in it. I go, oh. I go, what is it about? She goes, it's a thriller. Well, okay. So it's on Apple, so we have to go. You know me, I got our smart TV set up. I got to go in the great room to watch this one. So me, Ike the dog, and Becky, you know, sit down. And the movie, and like 15 minutes in, the character is so aggravating, played by Sydney Sweeney, you want to just reach on the TV and choke her out if possible. And then the movie goes on. And I'm giving it the college try to get through this. And I can kind of see where it's going. And then you get the ending. And I look over, I go, well, that sucked.
Oh, no.
What? When did you fall asleep? My wife falls asleep. We got the surround sound. I didn't hear her. Rip Van Frickin' Winkle sawing logs over here on our Natootsie sectional. I'm like, are you kidding me? So, yeah, she drags me into this crap movie, and then she does it. She makes me suffer and sleeps through it. I could have been playing Tiger Woods golf upstairs.
Could have been entertaining yourself.
There's a million things I could have been doing.
Yeah, bro, I'm with you on this. And look, it has its moments. There are some moments. Do not get me wrong. But overall, I'm with Mike. Do it with me if you're not on the radio. I'm putting my thumbs up, and now I'm throwing it down. It was a thumb. Like, come on.
Yeah, that's just, it's tough. And Carl said the ending. You know, again, sometimes you get an ending that's without giving away the plot. I'm trying to save you from watching this movie. I'll tell you the ending. But there's it's a very vague ending where sometimes you're like, oh, where does it go from here? You know, like, oh, is he going to – kind of like, remember, what was it? What was the one with Sean Connery and Wesley Snipes, Damien, with the Japanese corporation?
Under the Sun something.
Yeah, look it up. Look it up. But that's the one where I remember the doors open and Wesley Snipes drops off the girlfriend, mm-hmm. Tia Carrere. And it's Sean Connery's girl because Sean Connery's playing golf with the Japanese business guy.
Yep.
And they leave the door open.
Rising Sun.
Yep. Yeah. So Michael Crichton, it was a better book than movie, actually. But it has moments.
Yes, it does. It does.
You know, yeah, Sean Connery, Wesley Snipes.
But this movie, yeah, that was.
But yeah, you know, sometimes when the ending is open to interpretation, as Carl said, after that payoff, I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Hey, the other story today, Ace Bailey, who went to McEachern, is universally, unfortunately for his friends and family up here in Atlanta, is getting killed. And this is about the decision to hire an agent who some feel maybe is over his skis in trying to kind of precondition teams just that were going to draft him, pre-draft, and that Ace Bailey winds up being drafted by Utah, apparently a team that was told not to draft him. And as Carl pointed out, with Danny Ainge, who's the general manager, he's going to say, the hell with that, you're coming out here. Still has not made it out to Utah. Brian Windhorst reports he has not joined the Jazz, previous reports saying he would not join them. And now the idea that would this kid maybe even consider going back to college. And again, the who's the agent? That's
Omar.
That's Omar Cooper?
Sharif.
Sharif's dad.
Yeah, Sharif Cooper.
And I got to be honest, everybody from Brian Windhorst to columnists to syndicated people, TV hosts are saying, man, you know, it's not a right. It is a privilege to get drafted top five to play in the NBA and to make $41 million. And the sooner you get to Utah, the sooner you get that money. And then if you want to get out of Utah, you can so be it.
Yeah, I feel for him simply because these are young men who are looking for guidance and they want the best information. And sometimes you don't get that. And in this particular situation, Mike, it just feels like he's not getting that. Now, maybe this is something he wants to do. We don't know. Right. Nobody talked to him. Like, somebody say, hey, Dukes and Bell, we talked to the kid. Here's what this is what Bailey wants. This is what he wants. Nobody's saying that. I don't get the right. gist of why you would do this. And, Mike, you mentioned the money involved. Look, these young men go to the NBA because it is literally living the dream, and you start talking about generational wealth and potentially, right. you know, building on that as your career continues. But, yeah, I mean, you can go back to school, Mike. I just don't think that does you any good. The best thing is to go to Utah. And it's funny, Day-Day said, once he sits and talks at some point with the general manager and right. Danny Ainge and all the folks out there, I think he will realize it's a really good situation for him.
Because as we said yesterday, I don't know Ace Bailey from Adam. I mean, I'm sure he's a good kid, but it's just the way it plays out, the guy hasn't played a minute in the NBA, and you've already got half the world on social media killing this kid.
Yep.
That he's everything that's wrong with pro sports. You know, and the idea that, you know, he went to Rutgers. Apparently Rutgers set up a game with Kennesaw State, according to Oren, who's listening today.
Okay.
Oren coming back to work. Big O. But he's doing that. How long is he going to use that paternity leave, by the way?
Oh, no, bro.
How long is it, by the way?
It's like 25 weeks, it seems like.
Wow, that's a lot. Maybe I should knock Becky up and take a month off or two. I don't know, man.
Remember you had that scare. You almost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm kidding, man.
You almost killed yourself.
I was going to, please. That's, we're down in Jamaica. It's like, you're late? What do you mean you're late? You're what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Anyway, I digress. But hopefully this kid gets better advice. But the idea that, you know, it's funny. There was a bunch of memes. And one, I forget who put this out there. It's not like it's a celebrity. It's just a guy who's a basketball fan. Had a great line. He goes, this kid is crying over going to Utah, and he signed to go to Piscataway, New Jersey?
It's true. It's true.
Well, the crazy thing, too, is Utah has a decent little core of young guys. They got Walker Kessler over there. They got the kid from Wheeler, Isaiah Collier. Colin Sexton is currently there. So, I mean, I don't get it, man.
Well, we used to joke around with Jamal Anderson, the running back with the Falcons, because, you know, for those who don't know, Jamal's dad was a bodyguard, worked with Muhammad Ali's people and the boxing game. And Jamal had his pick of a bunch of schools on the West Coast and, you know, west of Mississippi to go. And I was like, why'd you go to Utah? Remember, I interviewed him back in the day because I said, so you, that between the Jazz and you, that made you the sixth black person in Salt Lake City.
You never
know.
He goes,
no, it's not like that.
You never know.
But anyway, I would think, because predisposed to think that, yes, it would be boring to be in Salt Lake City. I've only been to the airport, just based on, you know, what I've heard from folks who've lived there or spent time in Utah, but I've never been.
No, look, I've only done games there, and the thing that I've always said about at least Salt Lake City, and this is for most of Utah, everything closes early. That's the thing. Like, it's not like you're going to go.
Is 3% beer really a thing in Utah?
It is, but you're not going to be out late kicking it. Like, that's the thing. And it just depends on, Mike, your lifestyle. But even finding something to eat late, like, game's over. Where are we going to go? That was kind of my deal. But I can't criticize or, you know, say anything bad about the people of Utah at all. I've had friends that went to BYU, and I'm like, really? Right. And they enjoyed their experience. They had a great time when they went.
It is always funny, though, when that story when Wisconsin went out there to play them and they drank all the booze. They had to bring in liquor from Nevada because the Wisconsin fans drank. I think it was either playing BYU or Utah State or Utah. But they literally drank them out of all their booze. Hey, Steve Koonin, guys, coming up in less than 10 minutes to talk about our newest Atlanta Hawk and the amazing moves made by his general manager, Ansi Saleh. So stay tuned for that. Falcons at 5. One more story, and this hits close to home. Day-Day, and I don't know if Dominic's experienced it here. I'm not going to name the name of the company that also works on the same floor as us. There's a lot of international employees. I don't know what those people eat, but I just know what comes out the other end.
Uh-oh.
And my God, how many times? 3 times this week. You know, like a lot of guys, I'm drinking like 6 gallons of water a day trying to lose weight. And every time I go in there, it's like a wave, like a wall of just, oh God. I mean, what are these people putting in their bodies? And you may not need to see a gastroenterologist, whoever that dude who was in there when I walked in and walked out at 3:38.
I well, after you're telling me this, I'll be using the restroom on the eighth floor now. I was not aware that
they don't
this
defile
was going
that
on.
One. And it's, our bathrooms are pristine and they're in great condition.
Yeah,
but I mean,
keep them clean. That's true.
But my God. I mean, what's the old line from Smelly Cat? My God, what are they feeding you from Friends? Am I on an island here? Have you experienced this?
Yes, I have. And I was just actually telling Dom about a cheat code for nice restrooms, but I'll share that with you off the air.
All right. Yeah, because we may have to move. We may have to relocate from our floor.
Yeah, there's only, well, is that the only other company up here right now?
Is, right? I'm not naming the names. But
No. Did you already say it? I think that's the only other
whenever
company
I, you know,
up here, right?
Because, you know, you're walking out, and I say, hey, how's it going? I don't know what they're doing. You got to seriously change your drawers, Ace. And on that note, there's your guy talk. Don't forget, guys, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson are going to be out at Echo Park Speedway. They'll be doing a special broadcast coming up tomorrow. And get your butt out there, man, to Race Yard 7. I'll be sitting in the petty grandstands. And let's not be petty, because I'm not lugging a big cooler around. I'm going to drink your beer, man. Look for us out there at the race on Saturday night.
Steve Koonin, what does he have to say about the Hawks draft, where this franchise is headed, the general manager and his moves over the last few days? Find out next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we'll talk some Falcons. I did not play this earlier, but I am going to, because it's in our division, and that is potential starting quarterback for the Saints talking about his opportunity, and we'll let you hear that as we get into some conversation about this division.
Being the Saints, are you going to mock this soundbite?
Of course not. In the first four games of the season, Mike, and we'll talk about this in about 15 minutes, the first four games of the season, we always talk about this when we get into what's acceptable, right? And last year, we were a little bit like, okay, where are we going to be? I think the way we started, nobody expected us to start the way we did last year. And then you look at our schedule this year, Bucks, Vikings, Panthers, Commanders. Mike and I are going to break that down and talk more about that coming up at 5 o'clock. We're going to get a chance to talk to Steve Koonin, Hawks CEO. If you're just joining us, more on the Braves as well, guys. They lose 4-0 to the Mets last night. Turn the page. They're back home and taking on the Phillies in a three-game set that we'll talk with Grant McCauley about. Steve Koonin is here as we talk with the Hawks CEO. And Steve, pretty good week. I mean, considering the draft, the moves that were made, and I guess the fanfare surrounding what the Hawks as an organization have done, you got to feel pretty good.
I feel very good. Thank you. It's been a really good week, and I'm really excited about the future, and I think it's only going to get brighter over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, Steve, we finally had a chance to get some FaceTime with Ansi Saleh, and man, he's impressive, and I think, you know, we were a little confused and concerned at times about the search for how we're going to move forward as far as the front office and bringing in some more execs, and it seems like, again, small sample size, but I don't think Hawks fans could expect any better.
I appreciate that. I think that Ansi and his team delivered on exactly what we were looking for. You know, we want to make the team better. Kristaps Porzingis, I think it's a great addition. I mean, incredible big, can shoot from the outside, can protect the rim. I just can't wait to see a few Trey lobs going up about 13 and a half feet and Kristaps slamming them in. And then we introduced Asa Newell to the city today, and that's very, very exciting. And, you know, I think the buzz of the draft is everybody talking about this deal we made with New Orleans that could potentially be something really, really special next season.
He's talking about that unprotected first-round pick that could potentially, guys, be a top five. Who knows? But it could end up being a big deal. And usually those picks are not included in deals like this. So you give our front office a lot of credit for pulling off what they did. Let's talk about Asa real quick. We heard Ansi talk about what quality of a young man he is, and what kind of, you know, the player is one thing, but we heard him talk a lot about what stood out for him when they were scouting him and getting a chance to know him a little bit, Steve. And, you know, that stuff goes, you know, unsaid, right? We just assume, oh, yeah. But I think that goes a long way when you start talking about teammates and the kind of team player he is.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I met his folks today and spent a little time with him, and I think he's a great young man. And when you really look at the Georgia team, he was so head and shoulders over other players on that team that I'm not sure we got to see how good he really is. And that's what's so exciting, is that I think he's got a very high upside, and I think we just scratched the surface down at Georgia, because he didn't have world-class guards setting him up.
Right.
And so I think, you know, now let's be clear. He's 19 years old, and he's not going to break the starting lineup. But he certainly has an opportunity to do some special things with us.
It is Steve Kuhn, guys, Hawks CEO. Now we got stuff to talk about instead of me browbeating Steve Carl over. What are we doing? Where are we going? What are we spending? The Porzingis move is great. We could obviously improve some bench scoring, get some help, maybe bring Caris LeVert back. And we got to wait till July 6th for that to begin. But the Porzingis thing, how quickly was that thing in the works?
Well, we talked about it about 8 or 10 days ago. And, you know, this whole thing's a dance. I'll be honest. I thought there'd be a lot more trades than what I saw. Mm. And there weren't a ton. There were a lot of, you know, draft night trades, but those were more for position than players. So Boston was incredibly motivated with a $500 million tax bill. And, you know, we were in very deep discussions with them on multiple players, but this is who we wanted. And I think we're really, really excited about it.
Steve, speaking of that, this is the new NBA you've been talking about, right? And we're not talking about the game. The game is great on the floor. But this maneuvering off the floor, Boston, championship-caliber team, unfortunate injury to Tatum. Now they're in the aprons, and you got to find a way to get under them, and you see selling off, in essence, right? You start to see, hey, we got to try to move some of these pieces. This is something that you've been talking about, and for example, the Thunder are not in any of the aprons. Neither are the Indiana Pacers, and yet they were playing in the NBA Finals, and I think – you know, Anse Salay said this to us, that they have shown us that you can do this without going overboard and spending and having everybody on supermax contracts.
Well, you have to. I mean, Boston, this is kind of incredible. They, and I might be off a few dollars, but not much.
Okay.
They traded two players and saved $180 million in taxes.
Right, right. It's crazy.
I mean, are right. you kidding me? And then the way taxes are dispersed, all the teams that aren't in the tax get it. There were a lot of teams who did not want to trade with Boston because it literally cost them money. I don't think our fans really understand by us making the deal with Boston wasn't the most financially savvy move for the Atlanta Hawks, because if they would have had a $400 million tax bill, we would have gotten more. But we love the player and we want to get better. So these are the things that I've been talking about with you guys for the last year that really dimensionalized and came to fruition in the past couple of days.
Steve,
and,
yeah, good.
Yeah, yeah, Mike.
No, Steve's saying this is just phase one, Carl. There's more to the plan, which is great. I'm excited, man.
I mean, we're $31 million under. We've got some holes we need to plug. We've got some targets that we're going to go after, and hopefully we'll be successful with that and bring some key pieces to, you know, Atlanta. I don't think you should be thinking that you're going to see, you know, superstars, because there's not really any in free agency, but there's a lot of really good players.
Right.
And that's what we need, good players and depth. That was the other thing you saw in both Indiana. You know, Nembhard, I think, was a second round.
Yep.
Yzman, second round.
Yep.
You know, you saw, I think Oklahoma City went 10 deep in one game. They don't do that in the playoffs. It's usually 7 deep. So the league is changing. The product's exciting. Parity is a good thing for us. And we're building. We're doing exactly what we hope to do. And we got more to go.
One of the other things we talked about today on the show is, you know, the emergence of Trae Young as a leader on this team. We talked about, you know, being there for Reese Hoshea, taking him and kind of showing him the ropes, taking him to football games and kind of being a mentor type dude. And to see him at the Ace Newell's press conference, I love that. You know, I know sometimes we have a hard time for some of our audience trying to quantify what leadership sounds or looks like, but a guy taking that mantle, it's his team, and welcome to my team.
It's funny. I walked in the facility today, and of course, the first thing I do is walk up to the snack area, and I opened the cooler to get a drink. And I saw the guy who was there wearing a cap walking away. And I was like, oh, Trae, you're here. He said, yeah, I'm here. It's like, wow, that's fantastic. Thank you for coming. And he smiled, you know, and we bro hugged and talked about the families. But him being here means something. And it's a positive for the Hawks. And it sends a message. And to Asa, he was pretty speechless. Here's Trae Young at my press conference, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty special.
No doubt. It is. And I know you're probably aware of this now, but like when we talk about drafting Georgia players, right, you're going back to Neek, right? The last time. I mean, right. We were talking about this the other night when we were down at State Farm Arena, and it was kind of one of those things like, if they do, and then you guys did. But that's also a cool connection to the community because now, Steve, I mean, we got the Falcons who drafted Jalen Walker and you guys drafting another Georgia boy.
Yeah, I've been thinking all week since the draft how to tell you this story without getting in trouble.
Okay.
But we had several offers for the 23rd pick and some really good ones, you know, and we're looking there and all of a sudden Ace is there and I'm like, take the Bulldogs. Take the Bulldogs. And I want the fans to understand, I have zero voice, zero juice when it comes to picking players.
Right.
Yes, I'm the CEO, but that's not what you want me to do. You want the professionals, the Onsies, the Peters, the guys who do this for a living to be doing it. And I'm going, hey, so, take the Bulldogs. And for about 3 minutes, and I'm sitting next to Tony Ressler, the owner, who was trying to get his guy picked earlier, who was not a Bulldog. He really liked the player in the draft after watching him play in college. And he gets no voice, which is also great that the professionals are running it, not the owner and the CEO, despite what people think.
Right.
And when they picked Asa, I might have broken out a little dance. I might have broken out a little glory, glory to old Georgia. Did it influence them? Maybe psychosomatically they kept hearing that barking when they were thinking. I'm just saying, we got our first Bulldog
nice.
In the first round since Dominique in 83.
Mm. How about that? And Jalen Johnson's little brother, Kobe Johnson, too, apparently signed by, at least right now, Carl signed from UCLA, a pretty good defender at guards. So that's interesting as well.
Yes, it is. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that. So maybe we did, maybe we didn't. Yes. I don't know.
Whatever. I don't know.
For the rules are so.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So ridiculous. In the 10th pick in the draft, we take so and so. Let's hand him a hat. Hey. Everybody knows he's not going
there. Steve, that's it. I said this yesterday. Thank you for bringing this up, Carl, and I talked about it. You made your bones in TV after Coca-Cola, Big Macha. It's bad television. Why don't you just have your free agency? Why don't you just have your free agency and then have your draft, and then the draft show becomes eminently more watchable, especially when it's on NBC.
We have a president's meeting on the 30th. We've brought this up, I think, 9 straight years in a row. I would rather blindfold the player, let him pretend to be the animal of the team that picked him, put up antler ears for the Bucks, a little rocket for Houston. I mean, okay, if we can't say it, let's pantomime it. Let's do something, but don't make the poor guy, we had the draft party in the arena.
Right.
And I happened to walk over to one of the suites overlooking the bowl, and there were 5,000 people in there, and our guys were, cranking, and they just announced Derek Queen as the Hawks pick, and people are cheering, and they're going nuts, and it's like, oh, God. And one of the announcers came back, hey, ladies and gentlemen, I can't officially tell you, but Derek Queen's been traded to New Orleans. And they're like, huh?
Yeah. It's tough to follow.
Wow.
It is. Yeah.
It's really difficult. So come on, NBA. We're better than that. We're better than that.
I think you should.
Let's make those, how you've seen those two-sided hats that are like, parents, the Kelseys wore the Eagles logo and the let's give them two-sided hats. Let's do something. I don't want the picture that I worked for all my life to be for the wrong team.
Agreed. You got to bring this up at the meeting again, year 9.
Steve Koonin. I'm bringing it up.
Steve Koonin, congratulations on a really good week for our franchise.
I won't get it done, Mike, but we had a good week, but don't count my contribution.
Yeah.
The psychosomatic Asa and the we can't wear the right hat problem.
Fair enough. Look, the Hawks fans are excited. I think you feel that, and we got to see what happens here more with free agency as we continue to build this thing. Steve, great job, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week. I know it's 4th of July, so maybe we won't. I'm not sure what's going on there, but we look forward to normally getting on.
If we break any news this week, and maybe we can just do a call-in. We'll figure it out together.
Sounds good. All right, Steve, have a good weekend.
All right, take care. Bye.
Good stuff.
Right on.
He just gave you a lot. The CEO came on and said a lot. Behind the scenes and other things. I hope you heard him. But, Mike, I don't think they're done. And that's why we'll see where this week goes. Again, first official day of the NBA, July 6th. All these deals become official. All the trades and of the nature, all that stuff becomes official. Hey, man, we got to get to the Falcons. We're going to talk about this division, our first four games. Grant's going to join us. Braves host the Phillies tonight. Bryce Elder, Mike, we got to get something going offensively, man. We got to get something going.
We can't hit. Maybe you should fire the hitting instructor.
Okay. It's Dukes and Bill.